Welcome to PPM Simplifies. This is a weekly podcast that will help you have a better understanding on environmental regulations and how they relate to your industry. In each episode, we'll talk with experts across various industries who will share their insights with you. This is PPM Simplifies. As always, have just some fantastic guests, and today's podcast is no different. We have Mr. Jacob Pongetti of our Jackson, Mississippi office. Jacob is a Mississippi State graduate, so he's a proud Bulldog in geology. Jacob's an incredible environmental professional. We're just very fortunate to catch him for a few minutes to talk about a great topic. We're going to talk about high-resolution site characterization today, but let's get this show started. And Jacob, hello, and how are you today, sir?
Oh, yeah, doing pretty well. Went right in with a fantastic guest. I like that. You're swinging high for me, but we'll
see how that turns out. You got this, man. Listen, it's going to be a great, great day, and what a great topic. And so this is a topic that, you know, as it's evolved, and like everything, the evolution is really speeding up. It's a tool to take an awful lot of, you know, harder interpretation and field work. And certainly field work is always difficult, and we're only as good as our field work. But this is a tool that really helps us understand better what's going on the subsurface, which is always a great mystery. So, man, let's get to it. And if you don't mind, introduce to our listening audience, what is high-resolution site characterization?
Yeah, it's kind of like what you're alluding to. It's a lot of things. It's a lot of things kind of all on top of each other. But I figured the most dense and maybe a more confusing way that I've seen it is the EPA's definition, which I'll just go ahead and read, and then I'll go ahead and tell you that this is a little too dense for me, but we'll go ahead and start there.
There we go.
But the EPA defines high-resolution site characterization, or a HRSC, as just strategies and techniques that are used to scale appropriate measurement and sample density to define contaminant distributions and the physical context in which they reside with greater certainty, supporting faster and more effective site cleanup. So I'm certain that is all correct and accurate, but there's a lot of commas in that one sentence, so there's a lot going on there. But
So let's break it down a little bit too. I like how you open that up. And you know, as you've used this technique in the field, do you find it very beneficial to help to understand what's going on in the subsurface in a much easier manner?
Oh yeah, really what it seems to do, what kind of shines most, is it really reduces your uncertainty with your sites. And I'm going to try to not use the word high resolution while I'm explaining what high resolution is, but it kind of happens. So I'm going to give it a shot, but we'll see. But it's just kind of something you can use really along with other type of subsurface investigation methods. And it just gives you a better picture, a higher definition picture, not high resolution. And so it really just reduces a lot of that uncertainty, specifically like in your conceptual site model, where a conceptual site model, any of these assessments or remedial kind of work that we do have a conceptual site model, whether we know it or not. Any kind of the trial and error is basically evolving your conceptual site model and pointing your site in the right direction. And with these HRSC tools, it's just an easy way to get a really good, really accurate, very detailed picture of what your site is and what's going on in the subsurface from the very beginning. Or we've used it kind of in the middle before, just to help us get a better idea of what's going on. It's just really high density data that just kind of reduces a lot of the uncertainty. And uncertainty is one of those kind of parts of this work where you do any kind of subsurface assessments where we find data points, but just having one monitoring well, that's really not going to tell you a whole lot. It'll give you a yes or no, but it's not really going to tell you a whole lot. but by doing this kind of high resolution, we can, you know, make that a much more informed picture of what we're kind of looking at, what we should plan to do in the future or not do.
The traditional method is, you know, we advance a boring, possibly install a well, we characterize the boring, do soil classification. But again, it's almost like a fence to where you're getting snapshots in the subsurface. But what you're describing gives us a much more uniform view. So I could, and it's very important as you're thinking through, you know, the fate and migration of the contaminant and potential remediation. I mean, this is data that really pays a lot of dividends. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely can be used to shorten the overall lifetime of a project, because you won't have to worry about maybe going back to a site that you can't quite figure out and realizing you should have put a boring at a certain location all along and you just never thought to do it. This high resolution site characterization kind of fills in a lot of those gaps and makes it so that we can be a lot more confident with the information that we're given to our clients about sites.
So now that we've set the table a little bit and created an expectation, let's do a little bit deeper dive and talk about how exactly does it work.
So, and I've had a direct experience with some of these tools a few times over the years, but pretty much they're just a set of tools or a technology that you would put on the end of a geoprobe or however you're doing your subsurface investigation. And as these tools are pushed down into the subsurface, they're collecting real-time data. And so in any of this real-time data that's coming up, you can use that to basically evolve your site, your scope of work for the site, and put in additional borings if you're finding a lot while you're drilling, or you can kind of cut some out if it turns out there's not a big problem as you thought. So you can kind of evolve in the field and cut out a lot of, you know, lag time that you would get with more traditional methods.
Although it's on a geoprobe, if you know, as you described, is there a lot of difference between the high resolution work and the traditional soil sampling and installing monitoring wells? I mean, what things change when you have an opportunity to bring high resolution classification in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a whole different beast. But from looking at it, it just looks like we're pushing a geoprobe in the ground, which is what we're doing. But with these tools, they since they're sending up that real-time data, you can use it to characterize the entire plume that's beneath the site. And not to say that there's no reason to use monitoring wells, but as far as the assessment way goes, you can use these tools and this real-time data once you have this entire plume mapped both horizontally and vertically within the subsurface. You can then install your monitoring wells to in a more informed locations and more exact depths, so you can actually focus your efforts on the actual areas of known contamination rather than putting in wells and just sample it and see what happens.
That certainly, you know, makes a lot of sense. So as you're describing this, and you know, you're using like a geoprobe type rig, are there any other different tools or any other different processes? I mean, take us there to what type of tools are involved in you know, getting the high resolution site characterization.
Oh yeah. There's plenty of tools, and there's a lot you can say about all of them. I'm going to try and keep it kind of contained to the ones that I've had experience with, but it really depends on what you're looking for. So if you begin one of these high resolution site characterization assessments, generally you would look for the worst first. So you would start looking for any kind of free product, any free phase gasoline or diesel that's just floating on the groundwater in the subsurface. And generally you would start using with the LIF tool, which stands for laser induced fluorescence. So and the way that technology works is, and I specifically use the ultraviolet optical tool. And so the way that really works is this tool, as it's going into the subsurface, it releases pulses of ultraviolet light, and the PAHs within petroleum products, gasoline and diesel, they just as part of their molecular structure, when they're exposed to ultraviolet light, they'll fluoresce different wavelengths of light for a period of time. We're talking like nanoseconds. but it'll fluoresce light enough to where the actual detector in the tool can detect these wavelengths. And these wavelengths, each one of these different types of petroleum products has a different, basically a fingerprint of the waveform that it produces when it fluoresces. And they can use these those waveforms as they're drilling to basically see if there is free product, how much free product there is, like the actual dimensions of the plume of free product. And they can get a pretty good idea of what that plume is actually comprised of. So you kind of know where your source area could be based on, you know, what's at your site. If you're at a gas station that only has gasoline and you're seeing a lot of diesel, then you probably have a different problem than the obvious one.
Gotcha. So how would you think through, because obviously this is an investment in addition to your traditional assessment process, what kind of decision tree do you go through to say, hey, I think I really should employ a high resolution at my site or this particular assessment? How do you come to that decision?
It really depends a lot on what you're trying to do, but in lots of cases, it could be always useful, but we'll go ahead and cut to the chase. And it is more expensive than installing 10 monitoring wells and going about your day. But like we said earlier, that initial investment can shorten the lifespan of the actual project by years, depending on what you find. So definitely if you're working any kind of site where you know that there's been practices of using any of those kind of contaminants, petroleum products, or anything like that, and you have a pretty good idea, or the whoever's involved has a pretty good idea that there has been bad practices in the past or any kind of releases, rather than going out and punching a few holes and putting in boring wells just to see what happens, you could do this HRSC assessment, and then you would actually have a clear picture of what you're looking at. Because many times in this kind of business, we'll put in monitoring wells and sample them. And then all of that takes weeks. And then we'll find out, hey, we never actually found the edges of this contamination. We don't know how bad this problem is yet. We haven't gotten our arms around it. So then we'll basically have to do it again. Go put in borings, install monitoring wells, sample them, send those for analysis, and then we're back in the same boat. It's like, oh god, we still haven't gotten our hands around this, and so this has turned into months instead of just a couple weeks. But with this HRSC, you can do that on the front end, get a complete idea of what's going on in the subsurface, and then use what you now know to install monitoring wells in efficient places so that you'll actually know the critical zones of contamination and be able to target them for any kind of remediation.
Jacob, this has been just really good information. I've got a last question for you, and maybe this is the $1 million question, no pun intended, but in your experience, as you have used high resolution and you've gone through the process and even taken through assessment into remediation, how accurate do you think that process was? And, you know, give me a sense of, do you think it resulted in, you know, a cost savings or a time reduction in remediation? Just give me your final thoughts there.
Oh yeah, definitely. We've used it on an underground storage tank site, and that one of those head scratcher sites where we just keep finding contamination, just keeps popping up random places. So we got approval to use this HRSC. And we found that there was a massive contamination underneath the storage tanks, which is, since this technology is so helpful, it gives you kind of a duh situation at the end. It's like, well, of course it's where it is, but where it was popping up, it didn't quite make sense. So we focused remedial efforts in that area, and we had the site cleaned up and on and an NFA letter, I want to say within a year or two. And we've also used it at sites that had releases and get out there with this laser-induced fluorescence tool. And we've found that, hey, there's a lot of free product under here. And so we were able to, instead of waiting until we could put in wells, sample the wells, measure the product, we were able to get with the regulator and be like, there's a big problem here. We need to do something about this now rather than waiting until we do the usual process of sampling and writing a report. It's like, we need to get vac trucks and we need to do something about this right now. So just in general, knowing that you're in a bad situation, I think anybody involved would rather know that on the front end than find that out years down the line after all this time and money has been spent just to find out. It's like, wow, this is a huge problem. I wish I'd known this a long time ago.
No doubt. Well, I can tell you this, Jacob. I know our listening audience love this one. This is a evolving and innovative tool, and it's going to be fun as this thing continues to be utilized more and more readily across environmental projects. It's going to yield a lot of great results. Thank you so much for taking time and sharing with us. And as we wrap things up, Jacob, do you have any final thoughts you want to share with the audience other than saying Hail State or something like that?
Well, yeah. First of all, I'll start with the Hail State, not end with it. But yeah, and this is just kind of the tip of the iceberg with this HRSC stuff. There's plenty of other tools. There's plenty of other applications that, you know, would take more podcasts to get to them than this one. So there's, if any of this piques your interest, it could definitely be useful if you're willing to go for it.
Absolutely. And there will be more follow-up podcasts as we explore that world and share that good information with our listening audience. And to our audience, thanks so much for taking time to tune in and enjoy this with us today, and hope you found some value in it. If you'd like to discuss it further, like to do some follow-ups, have some questions, please feel free to reach out to myself or Jacob. The easiest way to find us is to go to our website, ppmco.com. And you can go to the About Us and Contact Us form, and you'll find a way to reach out to Jacob and I right there. So please don't hesitate doing that. Jacob, thanks again for a fantastic podcast on a great topic, and we look forward to follow-ups on this. And so let me sign off. This is Todd Perry, and this is PPM Simplifies. Thank you for finding our podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at ppmco.com. To stay updated on new episodes, feel free to subscribe to PPM Simplifies on your podcast app of choice. Until next time, this is PPM Simplifies.